Kia ora, welcome to Arise Church Podcast. For more details, you can find us at arisechurch.com. We have a special guest for us today, so we hope you enjoy today's message.
And this morning we're continuing on in a series that this church has been doing called Leave the Boat Behind. Leave the boat behind, and it's rooted and anchored in the story of Jesus out on the waters, and they come across him in the boat, and all of a sudden they're fearful, they're afraid, they're like, who is this? Eventually they realize it's the Lord. He says, it's me, don't be afraid. And Peter says, well, if it's you, call me out, in Matthew 14. Lord, if it's you, tell me to come to you on the water. And I love this idea that God is always calling us to step out into the unknown. See, the known is what's safe. The known is predictable. But God gives us a spirit that says, if I'm going to follow you, there's going to be a whole lot of unknown in our world. That there are some things we don't know. But how many know as we step out onto the water becomes a walkway? That when you know who splits the seas, the ocean becomes a highway. We know that the Israelites went through the ocean right to the promised land, that as Peter stepped out, the water hardened up beneath his feet and he began to walk on something that should have been unstable. Because how many know sometimes it seems like we're stepping into instability, but when we're stepping into God's plan, you're never unstable because you're stepping with the one that holds all things together, created the elements. And you're gonna be fine. And I love this idea because God is always calling us into the unknown. But can I say this? You can never have the reward of faith without first taking the risk of faith. You cannot have the reward of faith without taking the risk of faith. No risk, no reward. And I love that Peter, he's in this moment, sees Jesus coming. Now he's in a boat full of different disciples, but only he yells out, if it's you, tell me to come. And I thought, what gave Peter so much confidence or even the thought? It's a wild thought. What gave him the thought or the confidence to say, if it's you, let me come? And I realized something. That this wasn't Peter's first time being in a boat with Jesus. And it reminded me of where it all began for Peter. Say, one of my favorite stories in the Bible is when Jesus first begins to call the disciples to himself. The backdrop to my text in Luke chapter 5 is Peter is simply on the beach in a boat doing his normal work. When he first encounters Jesus. And how many know that God's timing is perfect? Now, it may not always be the timing we like. It's not always when we want, but it's always when we're ready. And God's timing is perfect. And the text we're about to read in Luke 5, it's the beginning of Jesus' ministry. He's just done 30 years on the earth as a carpenter, building credibility, serving the people around him, being excellent in his job. And now he steps into his public calling to be the savior of the world. And as he begins to do his ministry, he begins to draw people to himself. He begins to call disciples. He's become a celebrity preacher, if you will. Everywhere he goes, masses are being healed. He has the words of life. He begins to speak and people are drawn into his words. Like, what is it about you that just, that changes things? The scriptures coming alive. People are drawn, they're flocking and following him everywhere. And in this moment of time, he's down on the beach, Mission Bay. And he's preaching to the crowd. Listen to this in Luke chapter 5. You can follow on the screen. One day, as Jesus was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, the people were crowding around him and listening to the word of God. And he saw at the water's edge two boats left there by the fishermen who were washing their net. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, Peter, and asked him to put out a little from the shore. Then he sat down and taught the people from the boat. Picture the scene. He can't move. He's overwhelmed. There's people everywhere. So he says to Simon, let me get on your boat. Let's push out. And now he's on the boat. Imagine this is my boat this morning. And there's the crowd and he's preaching from the boat. So he sat down, taught the people from the boat. And when he finished speaking, he said to Simon, put out into deep water and let down the nets for a catch. So Simon asked him, Master, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything. But because you say so, I'll let down the nets. And when they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that the nets began to break. So they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats so full that the boats began to sink. How many know that's a good payday? When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, go away from me, Lord, I'm a sinful man. For he and all of his companions were astonished at the catch of fish they had taken, and so were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, Simon's partners. Then Jesus said to Simon, do not be afraid. From now on, you will fish for people. So they pulled up their boats on shore, left everything and followed him. How many know that's an amazing story? That's an amazing story. Here he is, he's preaching to the crowd and what seems like very practical reasons. He says to Simon, can I step onto your boat this morning and preach to the crowd? But how many know nothing that Jesus does is by accident? And I love that in the text, it actually gives us this random bit of information that we overlook. It says, as he looked out, there was two boats. But he chose the one belonging to Simon. Seems like an unnecessary detail, except to make it very clear that Jesus chose Simon's boat. Jesus had an appointment that day with Simon. And here's the other kicker that many people don't realize. This actually wasn't the first time that Jesus had encountered Simon. See, one of Jesus' first disciples was Andrew. Andrew was Simon Peter's brother. And when Jesus first encountered Andrew, Andrew was so excited about meeting this incredible Jesus that he runs to his brother Simon Peter. In John 1:40, it says, Andrew, Simon's Peter's brother, was one of the two who heard what John the Baptist had said and followed Jesus. And the first thing that Andrew did was to find his brother Simon and tell him, we have found the Messiah. That is the Christ. And he brought Simon to Jesus. And Jesus looked at him right there, first encounter, and said to him, you are Simon, son of John. You will be called Cephas, which is translated rock. This is months before this next situation. He meets him and in one moment, prophesies over him. Now we knew that Simon Peter would go on to be an incredible evangelist, write our Bible and do incredible works for Jesus. But in this moment, Simon Peter's just going about life, meets a random rabbi, and the rabbi does the weirdest thing, changes his name. I mean, that's an awkward encounter. Hey, what's your name? John. Today, Bruce. You look like a Bruce. I mean, if I met someone like that, I'm probably going, yeah, I'm not sure. And he walks away from that moment. The seed had been planted, but it hadn't come to fruition yet. And he walks away, and the Bible says that Andrew continues to walk with Jesus, but Simon hasn't made that call yet. And Jesus does what the church has been trying to do well ever since, follow up. He says, hey, where's that guy? The guy that walked in that one time, the guy I spoke to, where's he been at? And so Jesus walks onto his beach, begins to preach, knows exactly what he's doing, looks out, there's two boats, chooses Simon's boat and gets in Simon's boat that morning. I've prophesied, I've given him a word, but today I'm here to close the deal. Perhaps Simon Peter up until this point was curious. By the end of the day, I promise you, he was convinced. And Jesus steps into his boat. You know what's crazy? Think about the timing. The text goes very clear. Simon and his companions have caught nothing all night. It's not a good day for Simon. Can I say this? They weren't fishing for fun. This wasn't like, hey, let's just go throw the line out and if we get a couple, awesome, and we'll try and sneak a couple underneath scale size and just take them home anyway. This was not a normal fun day. They weren't fishing for fun. They were fishing for finance. This was their whole living. And they had been out all night. Come on, man. Give us something. Let me feed my family. Let me set up my future. Let me get my investment right. Let me put some away for a rainy day. I need fish. I need finance. I've got family to support. I don't know about you. Anyone ever felt the pressure of having to meet the needs of your life, your day, your family? Yeah. And he's out there, man. He's going all night. Nothing. Yeah. Why that day does Jesus show up? Because Jesus always shows up at our worst, but he comes and brings the best. Yeah. And he shows up at the worst time in Simon's life. He says, hey, do you mind if I get onto your boat in your space for just a minute and do what I need to do? I love that God's always doing a few things at once. He's preaching to the crowd, but he's pursuing Peter. He's not just preaching to the crowd, he's pursuing Peter. He knows exactly what he's doing. He's omniscient, omnipresent. His presence is everywhere. He knows what everyone's thinking. He's all knowing, all understanding. And he's like, you know what? I'm pursuing you, Peter. And today's going to be an appointment for you. This isn't an isolated encounter. It's a divine appointment. He says, and today I'm going to show you something that you've never seen before. I always think, what a random story. Because, and I'm building something here. Here's Peter, not a Christian, unsaved. Have you ever hung around a fisherman? They're filthy. They stink. They dress bad. They smell like what they're handling. And here he is. He's on the boat. And all of a sudden, he's just out quietly, mending his nets, fixing his nets, pulling his nets in. He's had the night from hell. He's grumpy. He's hangry. He's not in a mood. And he gets onto the shore. And Jesus walks up and says, hey, can we get back on? It's like, oh, for the love of God, please no. He gets back on the boat. Can you imagine all of a sudden, here's this filthy fisherman next to God himself, just me and you, Jesus, on the boat, and everyone's looking. Jesus just keeps preaching. I don't know, have you ever been like next to someone who's doing something and everyone's listening, but you feel like the awkward person on the side? You're like, yeah, I'm not with him. Different thoughts. Different. So self-aware of his uncleanness, of his dirt. But as Jesus begins to preach, I can imagine, how many know when God himself is right there preaching, you can't help but begin to get stirred in your spirit. Your heart begins to change. You begin to feel his presence. Something's different about this guy. I never felt anything like this before. And I'm unclean and I'm unholy and I'm impure and I feel dirty and I don't know what this is, but it's purity and it's holiness and it's cleanliness and I'm right next to it and it's awkward, but it's confronting, but it's also so alluring. I'm drawn. He's in this random place of like, I feel so embarrassed and so ashamed and so unworthy and so unholy, but I'm so drawn at the same time. Who is on my boat? It's the same way God deals with us in our sin, in our life, in our mess, in our chaos. He invades it. He welcomes himself. Simon wasn't looking for Jesus, but Jesus was looking for Simon. Even when we're not looking for God, he's looking for us. In our worst moments, in our worst situation, at the worst time, he says, I'm coming in today, right now. Maybe you felt like that when you first got saved. Unclean, sinful. The end of the miracle, he says, Lord, get away. I'm a sinful. He understands my inadequacy next to your holiness and sovereignty. Simon realizes he's in the presence of God. Jesus finishes with the crowd and he pushes back out and says, Simon, let's go to deeper waters. Let's go to deeper waters. Simon says, listen, master, we've been all night. Simon's an expert at this. This random rabbi's telling him, let's go again. Anyone ever tried to tell you how to do things when they've got no idea? It's like the single guy trying to tell the married couple how to get it right. Hey, listen, what I think you should do. Or the guy that's in debt and in overdraft and he's like, hey, I've got some financial advice for you. Yo, you can keep that financial advice and take it right out there. Like, ever been there? You can imagine, here's his ego, his pride. This is what I do. I'm a professional. I'm good at this. He says, hey, can we push back out into deeper waters? He says, okay then, because you say so. Something different about you. At your word, I'll go. And I wonder if the miraculous in our life this morning is simply on the other side of us going out a little deeper with Jesus. Going deeper, deeper waters, deeper levels of trust, deeper humility, deeper intimacy, deeper prayer, deeper dependency. That the miraculous in your world is when you finally let Jesus into your space and let him take you a little deeper than you've ever gone before. I've been doing it this way all night and I'm frustrated. I don't want to do this, but hey, what other option do I have? I can keep doing this, or I can invite Jesus onto my boat and go out a little deeper. Because Jesus is always right on time, and Jesus loves to ask us to go one more time. The truth is, Jesus was great at doing miracles with fish. He really didn't have to do this. He fed the 4,000, fed the 5,000, just multiplied them. He didn't have to take them back out on the boat. Could have just done it on the shore. He put the coin in the fish's mouth. He messes around with fish all the time. He can manipulate the fish to do whatever he wants. He fed the 5,000. There were easier ways to impress Simon, but he was doing something. He takes Simon back out to the source of his greatest frustration, and right there in the middle of his greatest frustration, that's where he wants to do his greatest work. He says, the thing that you've been frustrated in, I want to take you back out there, but this time, bring me along with you. And watch this. Let's go one more time. Cast the net on the other side one more time. And in the source of his greatest frustration, God does his greatest miracle. I wonder this morning where Jesus would say, let's go one more time to you. Amen. Yeah. I've already prayed. I've already given, I've already witnessed, I've already invited them. I've already served. I served this church for 10 years. You don't even get it. I've already led, yes? Sometimes we have. But this morning, I wonder if God would challenge us to go one more time with a new faith, a greater faith, an expectancy in our heart. If it's your marriage that needs a miracle, try one more time. If it's your ministry that needs a miracle, go one more time. Come on, if it's service that needs a miracle, go again in your relationships, in your workplace. Say, hey, I've tried. Nothing's happened yet. But I'm at the point now where I'm desperate enough to realize the only way this can work is with you. And I'm finally out of the control seat and I get him on the boat and he does the miracle. I've prayed for my kids so many times. I'm so grateful that my family, when I backslid for 5 years, never stopped praying. My sister invited me to church every single Sunday without fail. And after the fourth year, I finally said yes. Imagine that. I've done it before. I'm so glad she didn't go and quit. I'm so glad she said, I'll ask one more time. Just one more time. My world's never been the same since encountering Jesus. And I wonder where we just need to let Jesus in, because we know he's a way maker, miracle worker. We know he can do all things. But sometimes he's asking us, hey, would you go one more time? I believe there's people here this morning. I've been hurt before, or I haven't seen the answer yet, or I don't know what to do. And God will take you right back to that source of frustration. Say, pray one more time, give one more time, serve one more time, witness one more time, loving them one more time. I'm going to meet you today, Simon, right where you're at. And I love Simon Peter's response. They pull in such a harvest of fish that two boats can't hold all that God wants to do. Yeah. Wow. Can I say this? Don't let your past experience dictate your present expectation. Yeah. Don't let your past experience dictate your present expectation, because God wants to do, he wants to do incredible things in our world, but sometimes we've just got to get back to the place where we begin to believe again and expect again. What's faith? Believing in what we cannot see. trusting Him for what we cannot understand or comprehend and saying, hey, I'm going to trust You with this. I don't get it. I don't know. My world's been full of things up and down, heartbreak and betrayal. And yet in the middle of it all, God has just been faithful because I simply say, God, I'm just going to keep coming to the house of God. I'm going to keep showing up. I'm going to keep singing. I'm going to keep praising. I'm going to keep serving. And in the process of going one more time, God has been faithful. Finally, Simon recognizes Him for who He is. Falls to his knees. I'm a sinful man. You are the Messiah. Now, there's times in our world where God will bring us to a place where we finally humble ourselves and actually go, entitlement, gone. Arrogance and commentary, gone. My opinions, my ways of doing things, my philosophy. But God does it like this. God moves at the 10 and the 5. God moves anywhere, any place, anytime. And sometimes it's that, not Your will. Not my will, but Your will. Not my way, but Your way. And it takes a humility of heart. And I realized something. That morning, Jesus wasn't just casting a net. He was casting a vision. He wasn't just casting a net for Simon that morning. He was casting a vision because he turns up right on time. He says, let's go one more time. And then he brings Peter to decision time. He says, this is going to be a moment now. Now that you truly understand whose presence you're in, now that you understand what I can do. See, he didn't just step into Peter's workplace that morning. He stepped into his worldview. Peter had only known the boat up until then. The boat was his past, his present, and his future. This was going to be his world. It's all he had known growing up. It's all he could do right now. And it's all he would continue to do for the rest of his world. His world was confined to that boat. He was at the mercy of the conditions. But Jesus comes and says, hey, I'm not just casting it out, I'm casting a vision because there's so much than your workplace here. I'm going to infiltrate your worldview. And in our text, as I come to a close, verse 10, Jesus said to Simon, don't be afraid. From now on, you'll fish for people. So they pulled their boats up on the shore, left everything, and followed Him. What was the name of the series again? See, Peter had left the boat behind before. That time when he stepped out into the water, this wasn't the first time he'd left the boat behind. He'd already seen God do incredible things on a boat. There's a reason why Peter was the one to say, if it's You, let me come walking. He already had faith in his heart. He'd seen the miraculous on the water. He understood how God operated. And he said, if it's really You, I'll step out. I wonder how many times God's going to keep bringing us to a new surrender, a new place of leaving the boat behind. Not just for one moment, but a continual. I'll go again. I'll step out again. I'll try again. What's the area? What's the new thing? We've been saved for a while now. Back in the day, we'd give everything, sell everything we have to meet the needs of the poor, do this, do that, sign up for a crazy missions thing, go all night in a prayer meeting, go down to every service. As soon as the doors were open, we were there. And then we get older, we get comfortable, and that's all good, and we have seasons and whatnot. But there's also a little bit sometimes we get just a little complacent, or we get a little comfortable, or we get a little bit commentary, or it's not exactly how we like, and we have a preference. And suddenly God says, can I mess with your preference? Change your perspective and open up new purpose even now. Even now. Could you still leave the boat behind? And He gives Peter a decision. Are you going to chase the source or the supply? Because He answers Peter's dream. Can you imagine how many times they were on that boat one day, One day we're going to pull in so many fish that we'll never have to work again. We literally, it's like the lotto of the sea. We're just going to, it's just going to fill the boats. We'll buy houses and properties and we'll never have to work again. And Jesus comes and says, is that all you're dreaming for? Check this out. Just throw them on the other side. Bang! Miracles, abundance, overflow, resource, everything. He met every need. He answered every one of Peter's fickle dreams. Only to show Peter that it was nothing in comparison to following him. And I love that the text says that Peter didn't just like, all right, let's just pick up all the stuff. Let's grab all the blessing and all the things that Jesus did. Let's grab it all. We're coming. Wait, Jesus. He got a realization that day. Bible says he left his dream and followed the God dream. He said this. He said, if you can do that in a minute and a moment, then why would I stay out here begging the conditions, at the mercy of the conditions, when I can be at the mercy of the creator of the conditions that says, no matter what happens, if I chase supply, I'm going to be always at the mercy of the house, the car, the mortgage, the day, whatever it be. But if I chase the source, who can provide finance at a moment, healing in a minute, miracles right now at any point, anywhere, any place, anytime. He's like, why would I settle for this when I can have all of this? Peter left the boat behind. And his story has transformed your world and mine. His words have brought life to our hearts in hard times. The scriptures that he wrote have transformed generations of Christians that have stepped out in faith and seen God do incredible things. His story's still being written. I'm fruit to his story. Why? Because he realized something. I can stay on the boat, I can stay in my workplace, or I can let God just absolutely rock my worldview and get behind the source and supply of all things. I wonder this morning the area God brings you to. Because God will often give you the desires of your heart just to show you how much bigger his dream is. God did that for me. I left God, everything I was praying for in a non-biblical way came true. I don't have a story of being down and out. And my story was I walked away and got blessed. And everything couldn't have been better except that I was running from God and I was miserable. And he answered my dream just to show me it was so much less than what I'd run away from. And when I came back, oh, the source is so much greater than the supply. True fulfillment, true joy, true hope, true peace, a head on the pillow that can actually sleep at night, a peace that overcomes anxiety in my world. I'm good, man. I got Jesus in every situation, every struggle, every success, every weakness, every strength. I got him. And I'll continue to leave the boat behind every single time. Why? Because he is so faithful and he is so true. And there's people right here in this place. God's challenging this morning. Challenging your worldview, challenging your familiarity, challenging comfortability, challenging your preferences, challenging your faith, saying, would you go again? One more time. Would you continue to leave the boat behind? I wonder if we can stand. Feel God's presence in this place. Feel God dealing with hearts. I wonder, with every head bowed, every eye closed, you'd be here this morning. You say, that's me. I feel this calling to step out. God's been putting dreams in my heart. But I'm like, nah, not again. I was hurt the last time. It didn't work the last time. Or I got burnt, I got hurt, or I don't have the energy. I'm too old now. Really? Man, God is constantly calling us to the unknown. Abraham went out not knowing where he's going in his old age. And God, the best chapter of his life was the last chapter. I say for some people here, you've built a house where God called you to pitch a tent. And God's saying, you know what? It's time to uproot again. Start that initiative. Make that visit. Make that call. Serve again. Love again. One more time. I tried praying. Pray one more time. I was a giver. Give one more time. I used to serve. Serve one more time. Leave the boat behind, man. Let it go. Let's just see what God will do. Let's just see what God will do. Peter's the only one that ever stepped on water. Why? Because he wasn't scared to go again. I wonder what we could accomplish in this house if we just started taking God at his word again. I'll step out again. I'll try again. I'll give it a go again. I'll take the risk of faith. You're here right now. You're here right now. God's challenging your heart. You say, this is not a salvation call. This is purely for believers. Those that have been saved for long periods of time, short periods of time. But you're in this place with every head bowed, every eye closed. You say, there's some areas right now that I've given up on the God dream, or I've stopped moving, or I can't remember the last time I stepped out in faith, took a risk of faith. That's why you got no testimonies. None from the last 5 years anyway. There's no reward because there's been no risk. And you're saying, you know what? I want new testimonies, fresh testimonies, new chapters, new pages. I want to turn the page and see a new story. I want to be a different person to how I was in 2021. This is 2025, and I want to be a different person. Deeper faith, deeper trust, deeper intimacy, different levels, deeper knowledge, deeper holiness, deeper righteousness, deeper consecration. You're in this place, you say, that's me. I just want to go deeper this morning. I want to go again. Would you lift up your hand? That's me. Come on. Yeah, hands going up everywhere. Hands going up everywhere. Praise Jesus. I'll go again. Lord, I've been there all night and I'm frustrated, but nevertheless, at your word, I'll go. I want you to say this. Say, dear Jesus, I'm willing to go again. I ask you to walk with me. Call me out. If you ask, I'll go. Thank you for giving me the privilege of walking with you. If it's unknown, I trust you. I might not see the path. I might not even see your hand, but I can trust your heart and I will follow. In Jesus' name, amen. Can you give him praise if you meant that? Or if you meant that? Come on. Thank you, Jesus. I believe in this house, Pastor. I believe there's new initiatives, there's new ministries, there's new salvations, there's new families, there's new hope. I don't believe this building can contain everything that God wants to do. If we would leave it behind and go again, let's keep going. Let's keep going. I'm excited. But maybe you're in this place and you don't know Jesus. You know what it's like I talked about Peter. You know what it's like to feel unworthy, unclean, unholy, unrighteous. You're still carrying the frustrations of this life. Nothing's working. You've toiled all day, all month, all year. You've tried everything they said you could do that would make you happy. You've tried all the things that you thought would make you happy. You've tried every technique and every way, but still no fruitfulness, no fish, no joy, no peace, no love. It's like all night, all day, all month, all year. You live with anxiety. You're riddled with depression. You have no future. You have no hope. You have no true purpose. You're sick of the guilt. You're sick of the shame. You say, I'm tired of living like this. I need something real. I need something worth holding on to. I need something bigger than myself. I need my worldview changed. I need an invasion from heaven. If that's you, I just want you to bow your head. Every person in this building, bow your head, close your eyes. You say, that's me, Pastor. And if what you're saying is true, if Jesus really can bring joy and peace and hope and life and if He really is the source, the missing thing in my world, the reason why nothing's working out, can I tell you, God loves you so much, friend. He died on a cross for you, paid the price for your sin. He's ready to forgive you at a moment, in just a minute. He's paid for every sin you've ever committed in the past, everything in your future. He's made a way for you, a way of escape. He's made a path for you, and in His way is fullness of life and joy. He knows the plans He has for you. They're for good, not to hurt you, not to harm you, but to give you a future and a hope. You don't have to live that way. We thank God that you can come as you are in this place, but we pray to God you don't leave as you came. And I pray this morning, if that's you right now, that you would experience the loving touch of a Jesus and a Savior that loves you so much that He gave His Son so that you could have life. And that's you in this place. You say, that's me, that's me. I need that joy, that peace, that hope, that freedom. Would you lift up your hand while no one's looking? Quickly, would you, God sees that hand. Anyone else, hands going up. Hand there, hand there. Hand there at the back, hand on the side. Hand there at the back, yes, thank you. Come on, hands going up everywhere. Don't be ashamed, this is your moment. At the back there on the left, thank you so much. Anyone else, can you lift up your hand? Come on, hands are going up. Thank you, Jesus. Yes, Lord, thank you, thank you. Anyone else, quickly, quickly, this is a moment. Maybe you once lived for God. Maybe you once followed Jesus. But in the course of life, hurt came. Failure, disappointment, rejection, bitterness, anger, it could be anything. We've all got stuff, we all walk through stuff. There's no shame, there's no condemnation, we've all been there. But can I say this? When we walk away from Jesus, we simply walk into the problem, but now we don't have Him. The problem doesn't change, and now you don't have Him either. The greatest thing you can do is get Jesus back in your space, back in your life, back on your boat, and say, you know what? I'm sorry I walked away. I started looking at the supply, man. I need to come back to the source. You say, that's me, that's me. I'm coming back, I'm coming back. Would you lift up your hand? Amen, thank you for that hand. Thank you for that hand. Anyone else? Yes, yes, amen. At the back there, at the back there. Thank you. Anyone else? God sees that hand. Thank you. Many people responding to Jesus. Come on, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Come on, anyone grateful when people give their life to Jesus? Can we give Him praise this morning? How good is God? Here's what we're going to do. We're going to welcome some people into the kingdom of heaven. We're going to pray together as a family. We're going to welcome people in. How many know that when one gives their life to Jesus, all heaven celebrates? How many this morning making new commitments or fresh commitments to the Lord? We're going to pray. I'm going to hand the service back. We're going to go out of this place praising God and thanking God. But can I say this? Leave the boat behind. Go one more time. One more time. Let's just see what God will do. Who knows? We might walk on water. We might just see a harvest that we never could have seen if we didn't go again. Anyone believe that? Come on, anyone believe that? Amen. We're going to pray. I want us to pray out loud with boldness and joy as people welcome Jesus into their world. Can we say, Dear Jesus, I thank you for dying on the cross for my sin. I'm sorry for the things I've done that have hurt you and separated us. But from this day forward, I make a decision to follow you. Be my Lord and be my Savior. I am yours and you are mine. Thank you for making heaven my home in the mighty name of Jesus. And if you believe it, can we say amen?
Thank you for joining us for the Arise Church podcast. We hope this message has blessed you. For more content or resources, visit arisechurch.com. Matiwa, see you soon.